now.
And welcome to the SBK Crypto Podcast. 15 minutes of crypto
value. My name is Charles Story. I'm going to be your host for today's show. Remember, if you haven't already, subscribe to the podcast. It means a lot. And if you have subscribed, thank you so much. It means a lot to all of us here at SVK Crypto. And by the way, if you have the time and you are feeling generous, give us a comment and give us some stars as well. You know it makes sense. So with that in mind, let's get into today's show. All right, let's kick things off by setting the scene correctly. It's a Monday, it's late in the evening, it's dark, it's January, which is my favorite time of the year. It's crisp, it's fresh outside. So let's kick things off. We're starting this Monday in flying form, like we always do each and every day of the week. But one conversation over the weekend that really struck a chord with me was when I was talking to someone, and the question they asked was, well, what's the real world application of blockchain? Now, when you're day in and day out in the space, immersed, obsessed to the point of unhealthiness, and all you do is talk about blockchain and cryptocurrencies, for the person on the street, they don't have any idea. None. Zippo. So what I thought would be really interesting is going back and looking at the real world use cases. And I thought the best person to do that would be Ari Paul, the CIO of Block Tower Capital. The clip you're about to hear was from a recent interview he conducted with Real Vision, and that is their YouTube channel. So with that in mind, let's jump into the clip and hear Ari's thoughts on what are the real world use cases of cryptocurrency and blockchain technology and how Bitcoin is going to change the world.
The first use case that was the vision of Satoshi was P2P electronic cash. That was actually the subtitle of the Satoshi white paper. And the idea was to have sound money, money that can't be depreciated by central banks, money that is resistant to censorship, meaning, let's say I want to send a transaction to a gambling site, or maybe something like WikiLeaks. Currently, banks can censor me, or the SWIFT system can censor me. So censorship resistant, and then last is also seizure resistant. So it's an asset that can't be confiscated, or is at least resistant to being confiscated, where in the US that might not be that valuable to us, but you imagine a citizen in Russia or China or Venezuela or Iran or much of the world where they have to be concerned about corrupt law enforcement or the government itself literally confiscating their assets. So cryptocurrency, the first use case was as money that is more secure kind of in every way than fiat. Since then, there's been the scope of what cryptocurrency is trying to be has enlarged tremendously. Bitcoin was the first cryptocurrency and is really focused on that sound money use case. Ethereum captured a lot of, particularly Silicon Valley imagination, as being a much broader, tackling a much broader landscape of use cases. So Ethereum is aiming to be kind of a world computer, a platform for decentralized applications. And I won't get too technical, but it's a Turing complete programming base, meaning you can program anything. So any application that can exist, you could theoretically build it.
It in a distributed way.
Right, right. And that's the key part. So something people in the crypto industry right now are puzzling through is what use cases make sense to decentralize. So a few examples are, something in the news a lot has been the privacy concerns around Facebook and other large kind of data providers. So imagine a decentralized Facebook where the user owns and controls their data. Where literally I get the benefit of software from a company like Facebook that has all of these developers, but they never ever see any of my data. So all of the data is encrypted. That's one example.
And I think it's really important with the point he was trying to make with regards to use cases that make sense. With the ICO phenomenon that we had last year in 2018 kind of and 2017, so the last kind of 2 years prior, we had the people raising money for stuff that didn't really make sense to decentralize. So let's go back to Ari and hear his short-term use cases that he sees happening.
Near-term use cases, I think one that's powerful is remittances. So right now, people who are of any level of wealth, but it tends to be effectively a regressive tax, people are paying $20 a transaction to Western Union, for example. They want to send $100 from the US to their parents in India, right, and they're paying outrageous fees. So cryptocurrency for remittance, something that's being focused on right now is securitizing real-world assets. So We do this with equitization. So gold, for example, is an equity. So GLD is a stock. It's an ETF, an exchange-traded fund. And I can buy it in my 401k. And the benefit of that is it's more liquid. It's more divisible. So I don't have to buy an ounce of gold. I can buy kind of a fraction of a share. It's easier to transfer. And I'm not at risk of being robbed because I don't have to store the physical gold. There's downsides to that as well. And so we also do the same for real estate. So there are REITs, which I can take 100 commercial real estate buildings, package them as an equity, and then someone can buy one share for $20, getting fractional ownership. So the next step of that is going to be tokenization. Mm. And it's very similar to equitization, which is we take something like real estate or gold, and we tokenize it. So there's a token representation of it. That still relies on the traditional legal infrastructure and the traditional world because there's a physical asset somewhere we need a legal system to protect. But the benefits of that is, for example, right now, let's say you own a share on the New York Stock Exchange. It's very hard to transfer that share to Japan, to trade it, to sell it. It kind of exists locally on an exchange. The benefit of tokens is they can be transferred 24/7, so you don't have to worry about trading hours or an exchange shutdown. You get a global pool of liquidity because these tokens can be transferred anywhere in the world almost instantly, almost for free. And they're programmable. So I actually think regulators are really going to like this because the regulator can actually, in the code itself, put in regulation about, for example, AML KYC, anti-money laundering. So they can build that into the protocol saying, you're only allowed to buy this asset or you can only sell this asset to someone who's gone through our procedure as regulators.
Tokenization, to follow on Ari's point, is huge. The ability to tokenize any asset on the world and have that trading as a token that represents the value. One that I've seen recently is the tokenization of art. That's a massive one. Antiques is going to be a huge, huge sector ripe for tokenization. It's going to be exciting. But one thing we're away from it depends what you define by short term. I don't think we're anywhere near tokenized assets being adopted by the everyday user in the next 5 years. I just don't think we are. I think that we have the ability now to tokenize any asset, absolutely. But if you've got no one to trade them with, do they really hold any value yet? And what you really need with these great ways of moving forward and the ability to tokenize different assets is adoption. You need people to adopt the tokens themselves. And that's something very exciting. We're seeing that more and more. So a dentist in East London can own a percentage of a painting anywhere in the world, a world famous painting because of tokenization. It can own a fractional ownership of that. Super exciting stuff. You can now own a token of a car, a fractional percentage ownership of a car. It's amazing what we can be doing with tokenization and the ownership values that can bring as well. So let's flip it onto blockchain. So imagine if, for example, let's think about this. So imagine if before you left the car dealership, your title and registration were texted to your phone. Imagine if you were 100% certain your vote was counted. Imagine if your digital identity was no longer represented by a user ID and password. Imagine if you can see all places your food has traveled from farm to fork. Now, these are all possible with blockchain itself. And this is one of the exciting things about the cryptocurrency and blockchain space. You can't have cryptocurrencies without blockchain. A blockchain is key. Blockchain is what allows cryptocurrencies to have the decentralized factor that they do. Now, we have really exciting stuff happening with the IBM space. IBM are trialing a lot of farm to fork exercises. That I know they've been working with Walmart to do a lot of different things. Cryptocurrencies and blockchain, we haven't even scratched the surface yet of the potential use cases. We're nowhere near where this could be. We're just getting started with this. The technology itself is improving day by day, and the developers in the space are doing an amazing job at bringing that technology to light. 2017 was a huge year for the cryptocurrency and blockchain space, and the reason why was because this is when we really started to see adoption. We really started to see people using these assets. And we're not seeing as many people day to day actually using tokens in their everyday life. But what we are seeing is the infrastructure being built. That's where we currently are. And the best thing I can do is relate it back to the 90s. The internet is still being built. That's where we are. We haven't got to the easy to use sites. We haven't got the Googles of the world yet, the super easy to use sites. We're still trying to figure out how to build a website. That's where we currently are. And this is the most exciting time to be involved and be part of this revolution. Because I believe that blockchain will be embedded into our everyday lives in the next 10 to 20 years. Like, absolutely. But think about how many applications you use on a day-to-day basis. How many blockchain and decentralization could be a really big factor for you. Logging into a social media site, having a social media account, the exposure you're having by that, all the information that you're no longer in control of. All of these different factors. And people don't really understand how much information they're giving out. And that's just one very small sector of it. There's so many different industries that are ripe for disruption. But guess what? It's not going to disrupt every industry as we know it. And it doesn't need to. That's not the point of blockchain. And it's not the point of cryptocurrencies. The point is that they're there to add value and they're there to take us to the next level. I really believe blockchain is Web 3.0 and we're still developing the basic applications or dApps, decentralized applications upon that. This is the most exciting time to be part of this. And I feel very privileged to be part and work in the industry. And there's so many great people out there. Ari Paul is one of them. There's so many great influential people to listen to check out. We're going to be bringing them onto the show day by day. So if you haven't already, remember to subscribe to the podcast. This was our first show with an interesting format. Everything, we're covering different topics day by day, discussing different things. Tomorrow, we're going to be discussing Bitcoin price predictions for 2019. So if you haven't already, once again, subscribe to the podcast. Leave a nice comment. Give us some stars. Let's go. Let's make it happen. Thank you so much for tuning into today's show. Hopefully you got some value out of it, and I look forward to coming back tomorrow. Thank you so much for your time. Thank you for your attention as always, and being attentive with your listening skills like I know you always are. So let's get down to business. Tune in for tomorrow's show. It's going to be a good one. Thank you so much for your time and attention. That's a wrap.
You've been listening to an SVK Crypto Podcast original. Follow us on Twitter at @SVK_crypto. Email us on cstory@svkcrypto.com. Leave us a message on our website www.svkcrypto.com.